The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is it just urban myth, or is it actually true that Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven? And do you need to know the actual time of your salvation in order to be sure that you're saved? Those are two questions that we will be considering today, and we're so glad that you've joined us, friend. This is Grace in Focus, and it is the ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We would love for you to know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you will find our daily blogs. We hope that you will subscribe and like them, receive them daily, and read them. And there are hundreds of articles there on the website to read as well, and some information about our conference ministry. Be sure to check it all out at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right. Hey, Bob, you recently put out a video from your Sunday school class where you talked about some misconceptions about what hell will be like in the future. I guess a lot of the comments on YouTube, and it's a pretty common mantra we always hear from certain Bible teachers, that, hey, Jesus speaks more about hell than he ever did about heaven or the eternal state. And people just kind of assume that statement is true. But
right.
Is that really true, or is it?
No, it's not true. And you know, the funny thing, I normally don't read comments, but I happened to read some of those comments, and I found them rather discouraging because people were saying I was, you know, just saying what I wanted to be true. I was misleading people. I wasn't teaching the scriptures. But the funny thing is, some people said, well, he's just making observations based on the text.
I mean, I think that's the first step of any Bible interpretation,
right,
is to observe what does the text say or describe.
I know, right? But here's the thing. I know that several people said Jesus spoke more about hell than he spoke about heaven. And I was kind of encouraged because if you look, and any of you can go to YouTube, Grace Evangelical Society, and find this video, you will see that sometimes there are comments made to the comments. And some of these comments have 6, 7, 8 different people commenting on that comment. And I noticed that some of the people said, no, actually, if you look at the scriptures, it's more like 4-1 that Jesus talks about heaven than hell. If by that you mean the coming kingdom, ruling with Christ, or eternal rewards, you bring all those things into play, it's well more than 4-1. And by the way, Jesus never once uses the word hell because the word hell doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible. What's translated hell in many Bibles is the word Hades, or in the Old Testament, Sheol. But Hades is sometimes translated hell. Occasionally, Gehenna is translated hell. But Gehenna probably doesn't even refer to Hades. Gehenna might refer to the lake of fire. But in terms of Hades, yes, Jesus did refer to Hades on a number of occasions, but not that much. For example, in the end of Luke 16:19-31, remember he talks about the rich man and Lazarus. They both die and they're both in Hades. And the rich man looks over and sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Well, that is talking about Hades, but that's not talking about hell, if hell means the eternal state, because that's the lake of fire. Jesus never actually mentions lake of fire. He may allude to it on a number of occasions when he's talking about that which is unquenchable and that sort of thing. But he doesn't go into any details on that, and much more often he talks about the fact that he's coming again, that he's going to rule and reign, that people are going to be with him forever. And so the idea that Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven is kind of, what do we call it, an urban myth?
Yeah. So I guess in this case, this is like fake news.
Yeah.
But as you said, like the fact checkers, a lot of these commenters and yourself, when you actually look at the scriptures and check the facts, no, it's actually the reverse. Jesus talks more about what's going to happen to people in the eternal kingdom and the eternal state than he does what's going to happen to people who are unbelievers and whatever you want to call it, like a fire or what happens to the unbelieving dead.
Right.
Right.
And especially if you add in all places where Jesus talks about everlasting life. I mean, you add right. all those in, isn't yeah. he talking about the future for the believer? Now, he's yeah. also talking about the present.
Yeah.
He who believes in me has everlasting life right now, mm-hmm. but he's also got it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would be well worth your study. If you have time, take a look, study it for yourself.
Yeah.
See how many times Jesus talked about Hades and how many times he talked about ruling with Christ, about treasure in heaven, about laying up treasure in heaven, about the kingdom of God and everlasting life. It seems to me way more, probably 4, 5, 6 times more Jesus talked about heaven or the equivalent than he did talking about Hades or Sheol. And so it's really a misnomer.
I guess this is just a good reminder for us. We can't assume something is true just because it's repeated a lot.
Right.
You know, we need to check the scriptures to verify whatever has been claimed.
Absolutely.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful Free Grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
And I think we have a second question, and this one is from a specific person,
yes,
right?
This one's from Sandy. She's asking or saying that my 15-year-old grandson attends a different church than I. He trusted Christ when he was very young and can't remember the moment he was saved. His pastor told him that he isn't saved if he can't remember. What is your opinion?
Yeah, that's a good question. Is that Sandy?
Yeah, Sandy.
You know, that's the beachcomber's son.
Yes.
What did the beachcomber name his son? Sandy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did the lawyer name his daughter? Sue.
Sue. Very nice.
What kind of...
What did the debt collector name his son?
What did he name him?
Bill.
Oh, Bill, I love that. That is so good. What kind of flour did the pilgrims use to make cookies?
Sunflower.
Mayflower.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry.
We apologize, Sandy. I don't think anyone's listening to us for our bad jokes here.
No. Okay. So, no, a person doesn't need to know the day or the hour they were born again in order to be born again. You know, in my own case, I thought I was born again when I was 16 and prayed a prayer and had a liver quiver, but when I was 20 years old and beginning of my senior year in college, I realized, no, it's not by works, not by commitment, not by obedience, not by following Christ. It's simply by faith. And I came to believe the promise of the free gift of eternal life in September of my senior year in college. And it was at that point I was born again. But at the time, I thought I was gaining assurance, not being born again. And it was, not a matter of a month later when I realized, well, no, when you gain assurance is when you are born again. Before that, you're believing in some sort of work salvation. And so I came to realize that's when I was born again, but I didn't consult my diary and go, okay, what day of the week was that? Of course, I didn't keep a diary, but,
right.
You know, I don't know. Was that a Wednesday, a Thursday? We used to sing it at Victor Street Bible Chapel, a song. It was on a Monday, and you'd stand up if you came to faith on Monday. And then
right.
we'd end, we'd have Sunday as the seventh day, which really should have been the first day. But we would always end with that because so many people came to faith on Sunday. And then our eighth verse was, it was on a one day, and I stood up on that one.
Right.
Because I don't remember what day of the week it was. Well, there's no verse that says you need to be able to remember the day and the hour and the month and the year. No, just know that right now you believe in Jesus for the free gift of eternal life. The sad thing is that her 15-year-old grandson's assurance has been stripped by someone with false theology.
Right. Yeah, I mean, your assurance depends on what you believe now, not what you believed in the past.
Right. So if her grandson believed in the past, he's born again. Yeah. But if he's been confused now, he's lost his assurance.
Yeah.
Now, what I would say to Sandy is And Sandy is a woman, is that we
think? Yes, she's a grandmother.
She's a grandmother. Okay. So what I would say to her is, look, if you get the opportunity to talk to your grandson, tell him that John 3:16 says nothing about being able to remember the day or the hour or anything else, and that he should stand on John 3:16, and he should be absolutely sure of his eternal destiny. And by the way, he should get out of that church,
right?
Why go to a church where the pastor is teaching something so egregiously wrong? I mean, it's one thing if you have a pastor, let's say, that says the pre-trib rapture is not true. I don't know if I'd go to a church like that, but that's not as bad as someone saying you've got to know the day and the hour, because that's just purely made up stuff.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Jesus didn't, when he dealt with people, he didn't tell them to, like, look to your past. What did you believe in the past? It was always a question, what are you believing right now?
Yeah, and he didn't say drive a stake in the yard to remember today and write the date on it so you know what the day is and you can always tell people. No, that's a man-made tradition, and it's totally wrong. And I think it illustrates, Sandy, that what we need to do is try to find a church that's solid on Bible teaching. It seems to me that what we're talking about here is Christianity 101. In other words, this is an advanced truth to say that when I believe in Jesus, at that moment, I'm secure forever, even if I can't remember that day. That's basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
That's what Jesus told Martha in John 11.
If
you believe now, you'll live with me forever. You'll never die. You'll never perish. It's all dealing with the present. It's not, he didn't tell, well, Martha, you believed 10 years ago. That's how you know.
Yeah, he didn't say, Martha, tell me what day and hour you first believed in me for the gift of eternal life. No, he didn't ask her for that. Yeah. And he didn't tell her to write it down.
Right.
And anything else. Yes, there are more advanced truths. And Paul talks about the milk of the word and the meat of the word. And the milk of the word are your basic truths.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that here you've got a pastor who's messing up on the milk of the word truth. And once you get that, I don't think it's appropriate. So, Grandma, I would encourage you to encourage your grandson to go to another church. Find a church that's clear on the free gift of eternal life. It's by grace, through faith. It's apart from works, and has nothing to do with remembering the day or the hour. Because surely there's got to be a more accurate church than the one he's going to now. And it sounds like maybe he's not in the same city as her, but if he is, encourage him to come over to your church.
Yeah, or come to you with his questions about
these
issues.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because Grandma and Grandpa can be a great source of spiritual truth if they're sound in the faith, which thank God Sandy is.
Yes. All right, and thank you. And let's all
keep grace in focus.
I invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode in John 3:36, who's talking and what does it mean that God's wrath is abiding on someone? Please join us for that. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.